welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence. Right here. 720 WGN.
Obama dismissed as a juror.
He had a good run as a juror.
I felt so. You weren't sure if he was going to get picked. At first I thought, no way. And then I absolutely, he said, he prepared to do his civic duty if called upon to do so.
Yeah, hold on.
You dropped something.
Do you think he said, do you know who I am?
He had his juror tag on. Did you see that? He has a little red jury sticker on his suit there.
I'm a juror. You know, and they make you line up there at the Daily Center. Like you get, I've only been a juror at the Daily Center and out in Skokie. At the one out there. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten 26th Street. And don't you people start thinking, because I'm a lock 'em up kind of guy.
Oh,
lock 'em up.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
You can maybe be excused when you start screaming that. In the
courtroom. I think you would be excused.
But they let, well, at the Daily Center, I got excused because I. It turned out I knew one of the lawyers. So that was a problem.
You're high-fiving everyone when you're walking in.
Yeah.
Hi, sir.
Hey, how you doing? And I'm dropping.
Hey, Tony. What's up, man?
And I'm putting 20s in their upper corner pocket.
Oh, that's for lunch yesterday.
They should take care of this.
Hey, there's a little something you're saying. You want a lunch? Hey, here you go.
That
here,
guy is dismissed.
Yeah,
get him out of here.
It's called a day.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's how you stay on. Who knows?
Exactly. Well, in Cook County, you never know, right?
The money helps.
So, but they line you up and then they put you onto an elevator and they take you to the courtroom and then they line you through and you got to sit there. I just couldn't imagine them doing that with Barack Obama. I know, I get it.
He really didn't have to do exactly what everyone else did.
But he did. But you see, it's good for the court system because they want to also promote that everybody gets called for jury duty. It's everybody's responsibility. And so even when a former president shows up, although now they don't have the same sort of Secret Service protection that a current president has.
Mm-hmm. They still did. They had to do a sweep the day before, they said, Tribune was reporting. And they entered through the tunnel system, other than they didn't just walk into the Daily Center. Hey, I'm here.
But everybody else goes through there is going through metal detectors and everything. I'm sure it was a little extra enhanced security today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he get $17.20 for today's?
Undoubtedly.
No. Do you get it for just the call? Like to
sure,
see
just
if
just
you're
for showing
part
up.
Of the jury?
Just for showing up. Just for showing up.
Okay. And still $17.50.
And if they let you go before lunch, $17.20. If they let you go before lunch, we had to fact check this morning. Then you might be able to get parking cheaper.
Validated. Excuse me, Judge. Can you validate?
Yes, exactly. I did.
Your Honor,
they validate parking. If the judge does.
Yeah, if you do. Yeah, you just swipe through.
Do they provide lunch?
They do not.
That.
What?
You have to go out and buy your own lunch.
$17.20.
Wait, what
parking
happens?
And lunch? You're done.
Happens when you're summoned and you don't respond?
You get arrested.
Are you asking for a friend?
Yes. Yes.
We have to always make that perfectly clear.
Yeah, it's for a friend.
That is a failure to appear.
Yeah. Subpoena out for your arrest, potentially.
Oh, okay. I'll let them know.
Now, think about it, though. In 2010, Barack Obama was called upon to be part of jury service to see if he'd be picked for a jury. And he couldn't do it because he was doing the State of the Union.
Right.
At the time, so he had a nice excuse, and then they put his name back into the pool, and boom, this is the next time he got picked. But I talked to people a lot who said they've never been picked.
There were people in the newsroom who've never been picked. I can't believe it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is weird.
Well, are they registered to vote
twice
in
now.
Cook County?
Yep. Well, every county has their, you know what I'm saying?
Right, no matter
Cook.
What.
I've served both in Cook and DuPage.
You're a repeat customer?
How is that possible?
Well, because I used to live in Cook, and then I now...
Right, okay.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering. Just
but
asking.
So I'm saying...
And in Chicago, you got to ask a question like that.
I was picked
like,
both.
I voted both in Cook and DuPage. What?
No, but I will say I have not been on a jury now in 20 years, 15 years. It's been a while. So they don't pick me anymore. I wonder why.
Well,
I did a really good job.
This was a couple of years ago when I was there, and so I'm sitting there, and they put me in like juror number one seat, like to ask me the questions.
That's prominent.
And they go, and the judge is like, all right, juror number one, do you have any conflicts with this or whatever? And I was like, I know Jimmy.
And you pointed to one of the lawyers.
Yeah.
You did say that?
Essentially, yeah.
And so then they kicked you out. They said, sorry, you're gone?
Yeah, right. Goodbye.
Now, you know, like 30 years ago, if you were a reporter, they would never pick you.
Right.
That's true.
You know when this changed? When Governor Thompson had to sit on the jury. Remember when he was an attorney, former governor, And then they made him the foreman, which I thought was a good move.
Yes.
You know?
Wise choice.
Yeah, I think
Mr. Obama would have been the foreman.
I think in a second he would have been Harvard grad, former leader of the free world.
I don't think so.
I'm sure
so sad.
Yeah. So sad, right.
A jury with Hillary, Obama, and Trump. That would be something.
Should have been on trials, but he should have been.
That's already been said today. Yeah. Oprah Winfrey sat on a jury in 2004, murder
guilty!
Trial. They did. She did say guilty. She and 11 other jurors convicted a man first-degree murder.
Oh.
Guilty.
Wow. Oh, that's a bad 26th Street, man. That's doing some real jury service.
You see some real
tough.
Cases.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind former President Obama on my jury if I was needed one.
It's supposed to be a jury of your peers, though. It feels like, gosh.
I had a friend who had gotten on two juries within, like, 3 years. What is it, the minimum? It's like 3 year differential or something like that? Three years?
I thought it was only a year.
I thought it was three.
But in my case, it's been 20.
But who got on two murders, back to back, I mean, you know, whatever it was, like a year later or 2 years later, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and she did it.
Yeah, serious cases.
Yeah.
You know, John Cass and I were on the same panel.
What?
Isn't that weird? We both
on the same jury?
We both worked for this Tribune at the time. Yeah, because this is the first time I served in Cook County. And, I got off and he had to stay and serve.
Hmm.
My mom served a bunch of times. She actually
Well, I think now they maybe they pinpoint more people, the people who can serve.
They say that's the problem, though.
It is.
That's been an argument that has been made by, you know, people. So it's, you know, it tends to be an older retired crowd now, and they tend to convict everything that moves.
Yeah, that's a mindset. You know, it is true. You need to spice it up and put different people on. I'm willing. I'm always willing to serve. They just don't call me anymore.
All right, well, when I get called, I'm going to say Judy will do it for me.
I'll do it. You can defer to me.
My absence. Someone who doesn't know Jimmy.
I'll be on standby.
Is there any reason you can't serve? Because Jimmy said. Jimmy wants me to serve. Right? Isn't that right, Jimmy? Jimmy wants me to serve.
He already paid me.
Right.
Yeah.
He gave me $20.
Right. He said, you sit down here and just look at me and do whatever I said. And I said, okay.
Don't worry about the $17.20. We'll pad it out a little bit for you. Okay?
Oh, it's a pretty great moment.
You didn't get to serve.
All right, juror number one, you're dismissed. What? But Jimmy said.
Do I have to give the money back?
All right, Ben Bradley. We've had enough of you today.
Big news at the old number 9 today.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Do you know what is happening 1 month from today?
Today is the 7th, right?
The 8th.
8th. Okay.
8th of December.
December 8th. Okay. Is it your birthday?
Nope. The end of an era, perhaps?
I do know what it is.
Oh, yep. Is it
Mr.
Mark Sapelsa? I thought it was a little bit later than that.
No, 1 month from today. But that is not the big news. Today is the big news is we got a station-wide email that they're popping for a retirement party for him.
Yes, and we know where the retirement party is, by the way.
In the interest of corporate synergy.
What's going on?
It's at Violetta's parents' restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah, Little Bucharest is hosting.
Yay.
Cabbage Roll City.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And perfect.
Now, he did tell me this story when he was going through my garbage last week.
Okay.
He said, you know, where we're doing this party, and you got to come, is the place, because you guys threw me a surprise party there.
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
We did, three years ago.
And Mark was invited. Ben, you weren't.
Thanks.
And they Mark was like, this is perfect because it's right down the street from the Big Niner.
And it's delicious.
Like, yeah.
And great atmosphere.
And people are just excited. Apparently, it's a huge upgrade from last year's Christmas time party, which was at a bowling alley.
Is this a retirement / Christmas party? They weren't able to get them both in.
Roll them together.
That's the big speculation. Is, will it all be just one? Hey, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, and see you later.
Oh, goodbye, Mark.
No one steal the Bozo buckets this year. We got to bring those back.
Does Bozo make an appearance at the Christmas party?
Ooh, that is a great suggestion. I'll bring that up.
I'd like that.
With lights in his hair?
Invited. We can set up the Bozo bucket somewhere over there by the entrance.
You think we're joking, but I was actually just told by a couple people here in the newsroom behind me that they bring out the Bozo buckets for the WGN Christmas party.
Oh.
Imagine that.
That sounds like fun.
Imagine that after a couple of cocktails.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Bronco will be playing it all night.
Yeah. I see at least one producer that I can think of throwing up in the bucket.
Uh-huh. I mean, that ruins the game.
Yeah, that I could see happening there.
Yeah.
If they only knew. You know, actually, when the kids are playing in the bucket game, when they used to play the bucket game on Bozo Circus, they didn't know what else was going on in those buckets because other things can't happen.
Wizzo,
you know what I mean?
Wizzo in the buckets?
Nothing was going on.
Doody, 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 doody. Come here, kids.
I always wondered why that show got canceled.
I heard stories. I've told this story before. I happened to have crashed. I was at a restaurant on the north side one night. I was sitting at the bar, and the owner of the restaurant knew me. And he goes, hey, why don't you come back? In the private room, there was a party going on. And it was the We Got Canceled party from Bozo Circus. And it was Bozo and
in makeup or not?
Andy the, you know, the, is that Andy the clown? That was the guy with
no,
the white
socks. No, Andy was like the
Andy the music guy.
Yeah, music director.
And all these guys. And oh my God, the stories that came out from that party. Because they were telling stories not just from their era as Bozo, but from the all, there's such lore about things that went wrong. But in the 30 or 40 years that show was on the air at Channel 9, it was, it and oh, like the Chelveston the duck froze to death outside of the Channel 9 studios.
I'm so happy I didn't know all that.
Yeah, because they used to bring, they had a farm that would deliver a duck almost every day. And they left it out and it froze. They came early. It froze overnight.
Sad.
There was no way to take it in. And Chelveston was a ducksicle.
Oh, gosh, that's so wrong.
I mean, there are all kinds of stories from this.
Well, in my first few months here, they were giving me a tour and showing me around the different places, and one of our directors opened up this door and said, hey, this was Bozo's dressing room. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, and I see kind of lockers across the back wall, and I said, oh, wow, is this where, you know, the shoes and the hair and the costume, I mean, is this like, you know, something that should be in the Museum of Broadcast Communications? And the director goes, no, the janitorial staff stores their stuff in there now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was like a booze cabinet.
No. Oh. Although it was Bob Bell, who was Bozo forever and ever and ever, used to go out and have a smoke. Like, in because Bob Bell was like the morning announcer.
Right.
He was like the booth announcer, too, at Channel 9.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd go out in makeup and he'd like, you know, like without the hair on, he'd go stand at like there was like a and just to get out. You could smoke indoors back then.
Yeah.
But
he
would go
out,
he just wanted to get away.
Right. Right. Well, so a couple of months ago, I was on our way to the Bud Billiken parade. Lauren Jiggetts was still new here, and I'm relatively new here. And we're in the big Chevy Suburban that pulls the WGN float. And we all met at the station. We're driving down there. Dean Richards is driving. Bozo is
sitting in the passenger,
riding shotgun. Then behind Dean is Tom Skilling, and then Timon, and then Lauren and I, as the newbies, are in like the third row, stuffed in the back of the Suburban.
Kevin and Violetta.
Yeah. And at some point, we start discussing global warming. And Bozo and Tom Skilling are in this heated debate going back and forth about global warming and this and this. And did you see the latest dance? And
Bozo thinks is global warming
around.
Is a hoax.
Bozo is turned around
in the
front
seat.
Is
that right?
And Lauren Jiggetts and I look at each other, and I lean over to Lauren. I go, you're not at Channel 5 anymore.
Did Bozo have a pie with him?
No, there was no cream pie. But
How did they settle it? Did they
came to blows. Then. Although I will say, if you want to get through any type of police roadblock in this city, you know what traffic's
put
like.
Put Bozo on the front
Billiken
seat.
Parade, have Bozo ride shotgun. Those barriers came down fast.
Oh, see, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What's happening on your WGN TV news at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Well, of course, we're reporting on that guy who served jury duty. Or
man from Kenwood.
Yep.
That was the tweet headline from the Tribune. Man from Kenwood dismissed from jury duty.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute. We know that guy.
Exactly. Also, Marcella Raymond talks with the firefighter who found a baby that was left abandoned in a box at a fire department in Northwest Indiana. It's a special box, though. It triggers an alarm when you know something is in there. The firefighter apparently thought it was a false alarm, but showed up, and they found that baby. The baby survived. You're going to have that for you today on the WGN News at 4. And Aaron Ivory has a good story about some night welders who, I believe, make
furniture. That was code, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was a different. Oh. That was night court, I believe.
Okay. All right. And, yeah.
So, and Erin is moving to the 4 o'clock news beginning today. So you'll see her great feature reporting every single day on the WGN.
And it's,
news
what are these? Are night welders? What do they do?
So they use old steel from old Chicago building projects and turn it into furniture.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
Yep.
That's great.
Hey, I'm doing some night welding.
What? Looking forward to seeing you guys at Little Bucharest.
Thanks for the invite.
Sikalsa
Appreciate
party.
It. Yes. Yes. I'm really good at the bucket game, so I'll challenge you, Ben.
It'll be perfect. Okay. Somebody's going to have to brief me on Romanian food, though.
Oh, you're going to
really
love it.
Good.
Yeah. Get the cabbage rolls.
The cabbage
rolls.
Well, I don't think Ben's got a little bit, you know, he's got like Crohn's disease or something.
They have
like
the flaming cheese there, too.
Oh, I have stomach issues as well, but it's totally worth the pain.
Okay. Why don't we all get together a couple hours beforehand? We'll have a drink and
we'll have a game plan. We'll build a playbook and we'll attack the menu together.
Perfect.
It's good. I mean, you must go with Kevin. If he'll let us, like, I don't know what any of this stuff is. But Kevin's got.
There's a waitress there, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Feel that as like the white stuff, the stuff with the red sauce.
Yeah.
I'll give you a detailed explanation.
Eat it. It's good.
Ben. We'll break it down.
Alrighty.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, our own Ben Bradley. Thank you, sir. All right. Right now, we've got 2 minutes until Judy's news.
I've been asking for money for over a year now to fund these classrooms. And on the 4th of July weekend, they announced that they're, you know, very, you know, in like a cool, finessing way, that they have $95 million or that they're proposing to build a $95 million cop academy. What else can I say? What is y'all doing?
That's Chance the Rapper showing up at the city council meeting today. What
not
the hell
happy.
Is y'all doing?
Representing the people of Chicago.
It's not Tuesdays with Brendan.
No. It's Wednesdays with
Wednesdays with Wiley.
And
Alderman Brendan Riley is with us, and he's responsible for everything that happens at the city council. So over the April, let's call him.
Blame him.
So was that a surprise that Chance was there today?
Yeah, it was actually, and I thought that Chance made a good presentation. He articulated his points very clearly, and I appreciate his point of view on the subject, but. He came in to talk about the creation of a new police and fire training facility that would be located on the west side. And
that's one structure that's going to house both?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's been many decades since we've modernized those training facilities.
And they're separate now. They're two separate locations.
That's
now.
Right. So these would be put in one place. There'd be a lot of synergies. We'd get some efficiency out of that. But he was concerned that the city was prioritizing building this structure over other things aside from police reform that are necessary to help lift up struggling neighborhoods. And that resonated with me and I think a lot of my colleagues. I don't think it's an either-or choice. I think you need a good world-class facility to improve training, which is sorely needed in both departments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blend of things. But the idea that this is all the money we have to attack struggling communities and their problems, I think, is a false choice.
He was saying it's $95 million bucks, though, right? $10 million to acquire the property and then the rest presumably to build and operate the facilities.
That's right.
Seems like a big number.
It is
at this time.
It's a really big number.
Where is this going up?
This would actually be going up on the west side of Chicago in the Garfield Park neighborhood.
Right. Which, by the way, could use some. It's interesting because Garfield Park is one of those neighborhoods now which is seeing some. It's always the artist gentrification starts first, right? The artist lofts and a couple of restaurants are going in. And you've seen this happen throughout the city in once. Really tough neighborhoods starting to make a turn, whether it's Logan Square or Ukrainian Village or places like that.
Yep.
And now in East Garfield Park, you're starting to see that kind of come around. But there's also neighborhood pushback on that because people are like, well, you know, where's grandma going to live?
Right. Yeah, well, gentrification's a broader issue. We're a bunch of emerging neighborhoods are dealing with that right now. But
why $10 bucks for property over there?
Well, they're buying over 30 acres. So
big
it's a
site.
Substantial amount of land. They need outdoor space, especially for the fire department to do controlled burns and build, you know, basically burning buildings for them to train in. They have to do a huge tank where they can actually drop cars in so they could do underwater rescue training and these sorts of things. So it's a major facility. It's really big.
And right now, a lot of that's split all over because I've gone to the underwater training with some of the fire department and it's over at a high school and then there's something else that's over downtown and there's something on the west side.
It's very ad hoc. It's terribly inefficient. The facilities that they're using are outdated by many, many decades.
Right.
And if we want to have world-class police and fire, you know, you need to make these kind of investments. Alderman Burnett made a good point today during the city council debate.
Mm-hmm.
He actually has the current police training facility in the West Loop in his ward. Right. And he reminds people that years ago when it was constructed, that was a really, really rough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You would not be wanted caught there after 4 o'clock
true.
In the afternoon.
That's really
And now
true.
It's primo.
It's
you see all that stuff around the United Center
phenomenal.
That's moving eastward.
Right.
And you see the west stuff that's moving westward. It's right in the middle of everything.
A lot of young families, tremendous amount of diversity. It's really stabilized that
it's
neighborhood.
Stroller after stroller. It's $1,000 stroller after $1,000 stroller going past that thing. It is east of the United Center. Which, again, like when I was a kid, my dad, you know, we would go or whatever to the United Center or to the Chicago Stadium mm-hmm. and then drive mm-hmm. back east to get home.
Different drive.
It was like, oh, my God, get down on the floor. Get down on the floor. Right?
And it wasn't because $1,000 strollers might come after you.
Yeah.
Family vacation, roll them up, okay, roll up the windows.
Exactly, man. It was, and I was like, what is this? They go, well, they call this Skid Row. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But it was really rough, and it isn't now, and you're starting to see that. I mean, that's one of the great stories, I think, that's happening in Chicago. I know we're off on something a little different here, but you know, I know gentrification is a larger issue. You're seeing in Pilsen, there's a lot of pushback for restaurants that are coming in, and there's some, you know, racist stuff that's being written on the on the windows of white owned and Filipino owned businesses there and things like that. But it's crazy how much economy there actually is in this city. And then when you get the president of the United States overseas, talking about, look at Chicago, it's a mess, because he doesn't like to ever be asked about the gun control debate.
That's right.
He's built one of, he has a major investment here in a city that he called beautiful and beyond compare when he was building it.
Yeah, he was actually, I was with him for the topping off ceremony for Trump Tower, and the media conference that he hosted, it was effusive praise. This is a smart investment, a great town, it's on the make. I mean, and now suddenly the rhetoric's completely flip-flopped.
Right. It's attacking the mayor.
And it's also a complete misrepresentation of the truth. Chicago does not have the toughest gun laws.
No. In fact, when our handgun law was deemed unconstitutional, that was a real big hit for the city. And I'd remind President Trump that, you know, President Reagan had an assault weapon ban in place that worked rather well at the federal level. And it was allowed to expire. And I think that was a big mistake. It's not a Republican-Democrat thing. Mm-hmm. You can have reasonable gun control laws and be a Republican or a Democrat.
No question.
But Trump won't even talk about this. He just wants to deflect, 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 and try and flush our city down the toilet.
Right. Well, he's doing it, which is, we're not going to be a sacrificial lamb to anybody. Nope. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is a city that changes the world every single day.
Amen.
More money goes through this city, and between the markets and the banks and the whole and the businesses than just about any other place on earth, save four or five. And it's just not a I'm not putting up with it, and we're not putting up with it as Chicagoans.
All right.
Hey, I want to ask you about this, though. This is kind of an interesting idea. One of your colleagues over at the Chicago City Council, I think his name is Burke or something like that. He, by the way, has been in the city council for 50 years.
Is that right?
Is that right?
That sounds about
50?
Right.
That's about right. 50 years.
Yes, sir.
Summer of the weekend, and that was that was mentioned. I'm like, wow,
how is that possible?
I was three.
He started when he was like 12 years old.
Okay. Let's just go with that.
They allowed it back then.
He is suggesting something that is kind of interesting, which is, you know, some cities are considering a ban on distracted walking.
Yeah,
right. Like walking in an intersection with your phone against your ear and like blah 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 blah. Uh-huh. And he's talking about a $500 fine.
That's crazy.
How's that going to go?
Yeah.
How's that going to go?
Aren't we already feeling a little pinched by everything going on in this city?
Well, yes.
I mean, people will outrun the police on a $500 fine, right?
Yes, we are pinched. And I appreciate Chairman Burke's concern for pedestrian safety, and it's a serious issue, but we can't micromanage every part of every person's life. And at some point, common sense needs to kick in here. Not a good idea to walk through traffic
looking
at your cell phone, right? Just like it's not a great idea to play soccer in the middle of the expressway.
Right.
You know, these are things you just don't do. I don't think you need to have a $500 fine to dissuade it. I'd rather see higher fines for illegal loading and traffic lanes or blocking the box in these major intersections that cause traffic and create real public safety issues. That's where I think a $500 fine is more appropriate. On this kind of thing, a little public education, and I think other members of the public saying, hey, stupid, you know, don't look at your phone while you're crossing the street is enough.
That's
otherwise,
God invented the car horn, by the way, I have found. It just
And the taxi cab drivers know exactly where to find that in their car.
Yeah.
And so
that's right.
I just think indeed.
When there's somebody walking like totally distracted in front of me, I get up as close as I can to him and just honk the horn as loud as I can.
Yeah. No,
then they look at you like I'm busy.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I've got to post on Instagram. Well, idiot driver.
You know, this again, this seems a bit more like legislation kind of searching for a problem to solve. We've had 27 pedestrian deaths in the first half of 2017, which is a bad
number.
That's 27 too many, by mm-hmm. my estimation. And it's an increase of one from last year during the same period.
But this is up dramatically from prior to, like, the smartphone
may well be, but we don't have any data whatsoever that tells us X number of these pedestrian crashes involved someone being distracted or looking at a cell phone. So that data does not yet exist.
Okay.
And there's two cities that have led the charge on this so far, mm-hmm. Honolulu and San Mateo County, California.
They don't seem as populated
well,
as Chicago.
Well, San Mateo, though, makes a ton of sense.
Why?
But, well, because it's, you know, isn't that Silicon Valley?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone's distracted.
Yeah.
No one's looking at anybody in
right.
that town.
Yeah. They've got they're on their phone and on the spectrum all at the same time, and
oh,
it makes crossing the street very tough. The thing that to me is a very 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 difficult piece of this, which is the size of the fine. If let's not get real crazy fine happy here, because and I know the chairman is also on the police, you know, that's his committee. He was a former police officer himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, cops do not want. I mean, writing a $500 fine on somebody, that's a big deal. And people will try to avoid them if they think that's what's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. And look, we're having a hard enough time enforcing a lot of the laws we have in the books today.
Right.
Yes.
A foot chase with
great
somebody
point.
Who was distracted going across the street is not a good use of police force.
I couldn't agree with you more. That we should
focus
on bigger
issues.
There's
also a law that the cars are supposed to stop at intersections when there's a pedestrian present, but I feel like no one even knows about that law. You're supposed to do that.
What?
That's
no.
actually a law.
Really?
Right? Back me up on this, Alderman.
That's true. In fact, we install those small placards that kind of stand up in the middle of traffic to remind people, and I'm constantly having to spend city money to replace them because they're getting run over by trucks and buses and vans. But you're right. Actually, as someone who's bounced off the hood of a cab in the middle of a crosswalk, I can tell you, those folks need to pay much closer attention to how they're driving.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
But I think generally an education campaign, public service announcements, you guys could run them on your station all day long, reminding people don't be stupid would certainly help a lot.
All right. I think it's very interesting. It's totally an issue with people. They do need to get smarter about how they're using their smartphones.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I mean, not everybody's a Kardashian. And quite honestly, I don't really give a crap what you had for breakfast. I really don't give a crap about, like, you know, when you do the duck lips and, you know, so, oh, look at me. I'm.
Bro, you
I'm
people
here to
post for you, so you don't even care.
Right.
What does it matter?
Well, because they're posting, but I wouldn't. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I suppose it's ridiculous because I sit here and spew out my own stupidity for 4 hours a day. I'm 50,000 watts, but I mean, the idea, it does drive me nuts that people are seizing on every little moment, and then we've turned our culture totally in a way, which is going to be very, very dangerous heading forward politically, because we're dividing ourselves, sorting ourselves into these small little lanes.
That's right.
And it's,
I think that's true.
And we don't seem to want to be with anybody but the people in our lane.
Yeah, that's nation divided. That's where we're at right now, for sure.
Yeah, this ain't right.
Nope.
I know, but you just can't keep going after taxpayers, I swear. I mean, come on.
We
look at what's just gone up in the past year, two, 3 years, and it's unbelievable. And to say you've got the red light cam tickets, of course, on top of the parking enforcement, by the way, is very aggressive right now, I'm going to say.
For sure.
Oh,
lots going on.
Yeah.
And then the property taxes, water, garbage, bag
tax. They're ticketing your ticket now.
I know. It's like,
they're writing your ticket.
The air we breathe can be taxed.
And then they write your ticket, and then they take a few breaths, and they go, oh, still not here, write another ticket.
Yeah, no, right. Serious tax fatigue in the city for
it
sure.
Is.
No question. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for being with us. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hello, Anna. Hi, Ro.
Hello, Tom. And you provided us a nice day.
Yeah, you did.
Beautiful day. 100% of our possible sun. That's the first time that's happened since October 18th, about 3 weeks ago. So it shows what a difference it makes, doesn't it? We notice it.
I'm like, I'm happy. I'm walking around.
I know.
I felt like Ginger Rogers or Fred Astaire, one of them.
You know, Fred Astaire, probably.
You know what I'm more worried about this time of year?
What is that, Kevin?
Because everybody gets shocked, like maybe a certain radio host, Rokan. They're like, oh, my God, it's so cold out. So everybody jacks up the heat. Uh-huh. Everywhere I go to Starbucks. I go to Walgreens. I come here. It's like 100 degrees in here. It's not that cold out. It's just 45 degrees. So I'm more worried about what's going on inside these walls.
You're much hardier than Rokan. That's true. You got a lot more.
Like Solaire.
It's just so cold. It's just so cold around here. I always run a little hot anyway.
I'm sweating.
Well, bigger guys. Yeah. You know, we're bigger guys. Oh, we played little ball.
All that muscle.
Yeah.
All that muscle.
Yeah. You know what?
That's it.
It was all the steroids I was taking.
You know, it gives you an idea that Kevin's life is pretty ordered and together, because if that's what he's worried about, you know, just. By the way, how's the new place working out, Kevin?
It's good. Is it good? Yeah, it's great.
Living on your own, everything you thought it would be, Kev?
It is. Yeah, I actually love it. It's outstanding.
You don't miss the parents at all?
I swing by, checking on the old roommates now and again.
Is there ever a moment?
I went over there the other night, and I went home with like tons of food. I'm like, this is beautiful.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on the couch, like hanging out on the couch, go, hey, Mo!
No one's going to answer that. Yeah. Damn it. Too bad.
Yeah.
Every night when I get in bed and I'm scared and I'm waiting
And dinner doesn't show up at a certain time and, you know, nothing like that.
No. Laundry starts piling up. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Where's a second. You just hit on something.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with.
All right. I want to know, how many times have you been out of the house now? Almost 3 weeks.
Like,
right? That's two and a half weeks.
Yeah, two and a half weeks.
All right. So this will be the third Friday, basically, right, that you'll be going home to your new place. How many baskets of laundry have you taken to your mom?
None yet. No.
Have you done
laundry yet?
I've done some small loads, yeah.
Small loads.
Did you separate the whites and the colors?
I did, yeah. Yeah. I Googled it. I said, what do I do?
All your Hanes shirts are going to be pink.
Yeah.
All the whites turn pink. Learn that the hard way if you put a red sock in there.
Yeah. Surviving. I'm surviving. Bearing down.
That's the wonderful thing about this day and age for the youth of America. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on Google. No, you can go on Google and get, like, taped, you know, YouTube discussions about how you work an appliance and all
on
the
anything.
Rest, you know.
It's
wash your clothes.
A tie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Information at your fingertips.
Yeah.
So you don't even need your parents anymore, right?
Your parents
say, Mom, how do you do that?
Pretty amazing.
Right. And she just Googles it anyways.
Gosh.
Right, let me go think about it. She's Googling it to tell you the answer. Yeah.
I think it's very interesting that at least some of the laundry is getting done. Yeah. I'm actually, I don't know, you know, you get to a certain age, and even if, like, you're married, you know, or you're living with people, whatever it is, I decided I kind of prefer doing my own laundry.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate doing laundry.
Because I find that I'm very particular. I know it's very hard to believe. I know. But I'm particular about how the, you know, some stuff should go in the dryer, some stuff should not.
Exactly. Because if they throw it in the dryer, it's bulking season. I don't have much room to give. You throw it in on the high heat, you put a shirt on, like, son of a. You gotta go delicate on that cycle.
Come on, Mom. I told you 1,000 times.
Extra delicate.
You shrank it.
I got no room to give here.
Right. I love when you put the white underwear, you know, in the washing machine. It comes out like orange or something, you know, or purple. Because you put it in with something
the
else
wrong
that
thing.
You're not supposed to.
Or it's a whole pile of stuff, and you throw it in. You don't realize that there's that one thing in there.
Colored thing that would, you know, send dye all through the water.
Exactly.
My daughter's got a lot of princess pink, and so when we combine the laundry, a lot of things come out pink. We just find that. And sequins sometimes are on my husband's shirts and things like that. It happens.
Throw it
all in there.
You just got to deal with it. That's all there is to it. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, this is not why we called.
No. But did you see Ben Bradley did tell a story about how you got in a fight with with Bozo?
You know what? Now, I never would disagree with Ben. I don't remember that conversation with Bozo. Bozo and I have discussed climate change, but he's on the same page with me. He's a very smart Bozo.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So he's a smart Bozo.
He is.
That should be our new organization. Very Smart Bozos. That would be the name of the it's our fund, verysmartbozos.org.
Yeah.
The thing that I couldn't believe it either, because, you know, Ben, I was like, you know, you two were going at it, and yeah. I was thinking,
no,
it's like I couldn't imagine Bozo's a climate change denier, especially with that hair.
No, he's not. He's very concerned. You know, if it rains too much, his dye runs in his hair.
So get it. Okay.
He has a vested interest in keeping things as they are, you know, and predictable and uncontroversial and not extreme.
Too bad that show's still not on the air, because you would be like, and now, kids, a very special Bozo.
That's right, a climate change discussion.
I said, let me tell you something about the polar ice cap.
And I'd be like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
The mean temperature of the Earth has gone up by 0.2 degrees in the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And
that would be great.
It would be great. It'd be a very timely. It'd be an updated version of Bozo.
Yeah.
You know, I've often thought, you know, we did a Christmas thing one time where we were to talk. Each of us was assigned a different Chicago celebrity. Mm-hmm. I was assigned Bozo. So I said
to do
Bozo,
what?
To ask him what Christmas meant to him and the holidays and all. And so I said to him, I said, Boz, what does Christmas and the holidays, what do they mean to you? He says, loneliness. And then he said, I said, now what are you going to do for Christmas? He says, I'm going back into the back lot with Professor Andy, and we're going to kick back with some grain alcohol eggnog and sing Christmas carols. Now, this is the stuff.
That's scandalous.
No, it was really quite funny. And as we were talking, there was this, there were construction people, and he says, oh, boys and girls, he says, you hear that? Those are Bozo's bill collectors outside the room. But he said, they're not going to get in because Bozo had the walls reinforced last night. But you know what? The next day I went in, because I told people about this interview I had with Bozo. And
was this for air or for like a gag reason?
Oh, it started out as being something for air. It never saw the light of day.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And in fact, the tape mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah. I think. Is this because, let me ask you, is that the year that they canceled Bozo?
No, this was several years ahead of time. But I think Boz slept on that interview some and decided it's not good to have that tape running around.
Not,
you know?
No.
Remember Eddie Murphy did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood?
Yes.
Kind of corrupted the whole
I know.
Yeah. Well, we did. We don't have enough time to get into this. But one day, actually, this would be a very fun either viral video or a podcast is to sit around and get the Bozos together to talk about everything that went wrong in the production of the making of Bozo over 50 years of Bozo or whatever it was.
I can only
imagine. There were some things that just went sideways that are legendary stories at Channel 9. And it would be great to have it moderated by Tom Skilling.
I wasn't thinking of myself, but it would be a great one. You know, it's like when all the captains from Star Trek got together in that documentary and discussed what it was like for the different Star Trek venues and all. And they all talked about what it was like producing those shows every week and how it took away from their family time and, you know, because it was so demanding, shooting these things. And, you know, who would think that something like that would be interesting? But as you listen to it, you were mesmerized by it. So to have Bozo doing that, all the Bozos, that would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, actually, still in their makeup. Well, there's only of the surviving Bozos for the Chicago Bozos.
Yeah.
There's really only Joey Doria, right?
Right.
He's still with us. And then whoever the
current
guy. George Pappas.
Yes, in our production.
That's George Pappas?
That is.
Oh, my God. I worked with George Pappas at WMAQ years and years and years and years ago.
You wouldn't recognize him.
George is really the corporate historian here. You need somebody like this at a station because things change, though, as time goes on. You need somebody who remembers how things were, and George has always loved WGN and been very into what's going on here and the people who are involved in productions here. And he could write a book on the place. It's really quite amazing.
God, that is amazing. Wow. Yeah. That's interesting to me. I know he was a gigantic Bozo historian.
Yes.
Oh.
So, and is Joey Doria still live in the Chicago area?
No, he's out on the West Coast. Acting out there, he does parts from time to time. I notice he did some plays up in Anchorage, Alaska, in the theater there. They have quite an active theater, and it's interesting. Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek, went up there and did the one-man show, The Christmas Carol, just to try it out, you know, and get the the wheels running on that, and then they took it to Broadway. So it's an interesting place to start something like that. But Joey's done a couple of plays up there. I've seen that on Facebook, and I've fallen out of touch with him. I haven't talked to him for a while. But he always liked, when we were going to parades in these cars that Ben was talking about, you know, where we were being transported down, he would we'd come up to an intersection. And, of course, to see the faces on people as they're driving by and they see Bozo.
There's
in
a Bozo
in
the car.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, I'm surprised we didn't create some mammoth traffic jams or accidents. But he would roll down the window at intersections and to the car next door. He'd say, excuse me, do you have any gray poupon or anything like that? And it was to see the reaction. The kids loved him. It's amazing. I remember we were on a float one year where the axles extended out. It was really dangerous. And the little kids would break through the, you know, the barricades to come up to Bozo when the parade would come to a halt temporarily. And Bozo was there saying, get away, because we were afraid these little children were going to be hurt. And I thought, you know, somebody is going to snap a picture of this, and the subtitle is going to be Bozo telling children to get lost, you know, or something like that. And it wasn't that at all. It was concern over their safety.
But of course.
That's
just, well, there's something so special about him, though, too. You think about generations of Chicagoans who embrace Bozo.
I mean,
to see him, it's like, that's the fun moment. What do they say? Do the parents want a hug or a selfie, or do they react?
I mean, everybody reacts.
Well, because they would be now Bozo, the current, you know, Bozo, you know, the one that we know and we love from Channel 9.
Yes.
He'd be far more familiar to the parents than he would to the kids.
That's true, because he's been off the air for a while.
Yeah.
But the little ones still migrate to him. When you go out to a parade with Bozo, the effect is magic. I mean, it's really quite amazing.
He's also one of the friendlier made-up clowns, right? I mean, that's
the
one thing about our Bozo, and I know everybody who grows up with whatever, you know, there, as Sven Gulli was telling us, you know, like Dr. Coffin Nails, you know, like they're like, you know, you like from San Antonio, you go, I love Dr. Coffin Nails. Whatever, it's whatever TV clown you grew up with is the one that you think is the best.
Right.
But you look at some of those other clowns or the other Bozos from around, because there was, you know, the Bozo was a franchise, Larry Harmon's franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other Bozos around the country or other, you know, whatever they were. Clowns.
And they look kind of sinister or something.
Yeah, or they didn't have a the scheme of Bozo was a very friendly thing. And to me, at least, as a kid, and I don't like clowns, but he's like the only clown I can stand.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was friendly. He wasn't. I remember Roger Ebert saying one time during a movie review that it was about a clown movie, and he said, I've always been frightened by clowns. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting observation for somebody of his stature to make. But, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, there's a whole psychological profile for that.
Yes.
And there's an explanation for why.
Yeah.
Because the smile puts us off.
Yes.
Because it's the never-ending smile hits something in our amygdala that makes us very, very nutty.
Interesting.
Well, it makes us not want to trust because it doesn't feel real.
It doesn't feel, it's not a range of emotion. It's a single thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. This Bozo, but you know what? But the Bozo show was always, Bozo was always put upon, right? It was always, it was always kind of like,
I know.
You know, they're out to get me.
He felt for him.
And it was something. Cookie was there.
And Cookie was like trying to help him. And then Bozo would like get over on Cookie because Cookie was really the idiot. It was always something going on. Then Wizzo would come in. And Wizzo was like the ultimate scam artist. Hey, you want some magic cards, kids? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. All right, Tom, thank you for all the weather that you've provided. Hey, can I just ask you, Bears game, Bears weather on Sunday?
Kind of cloudy. There might be a little light rain or sprinkles in the morning and maybe a snowflake mixed in.
No.
But it looks kind of cloudy in 44.
Hey, that's, I'm going to tell you something.
Not terribly.
You know,
windy.
At Soldier Field, what happens when you get snow in the air?
Mm-hmm.
The crowd goes nuts.
Well, don't picture this as being likely to be a snowy sort of day.
You get a flake in the air, people go nuts.
Sure, it'll be 44. I think a lot of it'll be liquid, and if it occurs at all, it'll be very light and scattered.
All right, thank you, Tom.
You bet.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Anna was kind enough to come over to Windy City Live today and hang out with
Fun
us.
Fun to be over there, solve the world's problems, relationship problems.
One relationship at a time.
Exactly.
I know. They ask, you know, I'm there a couple days a week mm-hmm. just to, you know, add, I don't know whether there's something happening in current events they want me to talk about. Mm-hmm. Then they drag me into relationship advice, and I'm like, I'm the worst person
okay,
ever.
When does this re-air? Because I got to watch this tonight.
You do have to watch it. I mean,
every
we talked
once in
about
a while, I post up with a midnight. Beer. I like to watch Ro and Ann on Windy City Live.
We
at, like,
did bathhouses and should you go to them and, you know, the new bathhouse thing.
I mean, cause there's I this saw new that. Upscale. Looks kind of good.
Yeah, but do you want to bathe with strangers?
Yes, it's very Game of Thrones.
I'm not into that. I just didn't like that. And then we had the Parisian nude.
Yeah, but so is beheading, and I'm not into that either.
Killing off your siblings yeah. and other people.
Seems like a fast way to go.
But then there was the Paris the nude restaurant in Paris.
Oh,
and
yeah.
is that
I
a
heard
good
Steve
idea?
Cochran talk about that.
Yeah. I think it sounds like a horrible idea.
That's a bad idea.
That's
soup.
Just terrible. Right. Yeah. Soup. Or, I mean, soup just, and, do you want to stare at that and that yeah. and all
not
of it
good.
Together?
Especially during not chili good. Season.
Whole thing bad. Yeah, the whole thing's bad.
And
all right.
Other stuff that was important like that.
I wanted this. I was looking at this story. This is kind of an interesting thing. This is right now we're heading into the big fall Oscar and blockbuster season in the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this story. I thought it was very interesting about how the movie industry is the people who make the movies are, you know, and what the relationship is between the people who are making the movies now, which has always been a stress relationship, and those who show the movies, the exhibitors, the mm-hmm. theater owners, right? Mm-hmm. And if you go to a movie theater now, the stuff they have done to the movie theater to make your experience grand mm-hmm. is unbelievable.
I like it.
Right? I mean, they have brought it back. And I know, and I get it. They have to compete with a lot of different things that they didn't have to compete with before. So they've, like, in all the movie theaters now, like downtown especially, not necessarily everywhere, but certainly downtown, you know, there's an active bar, right? Mm-hmm. They've got beautiful seats when you get into the...
Blankets, pillows, recliners.
And then the screens are curved and the whole thing. I mean,
the food's been upgraded, too. So you actually can get a meal now while you... watch the movie at some
if
of those
you
theaters.
Wish to do it. It's just an amazing thing. And these theater owners, at great expense, have done this mm-hmm. to make this happen. And then the movie theater companies, the movie companies that are, you know, sending their movies to the theater companies, and they're like, well, we want more money for it now.
You check up the prices.
Yeah, but these guys just put all their money in.
Right. It's like, give me something for that.
All right, I need to figure out how this works. First mm-hmm. of all, let's. Patrick Corcoran is with us, and Patrick Corcoran is the vice president and chief communications officer for NATO, not that NATO, the other NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners. And Patrick, thank you so much for being with us. And let's
thank you for having me.
Let's first of all, I want to just talk about the upgrade thing before we get into the movie company thing. But theaters, right, realize that they're not just competing. They need your dollars. They need to convince you to go spend our hard-earned money, to come in and have a full experience, not just sit down for 2 hours and watch a movie. Right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, the last 2 minutes of the two of you talking are pretty much my job is done here. You said exactly what I would say. It's a different experience.
We got the talking points.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and we may hire you.
I've been going, you know, like I like everybody, right? You go to movies, you love movies, you go to movies, you go. The theater experience is always a little different.
It is.
Than the and parenting changes it, right? Because you leave the movie theater for a while, like your late 20s and
right.
your early 30s.
I'm leaving it right now with a young child. Very...
And then you have a young child, then you're out. And the only time you're in the theater is when you're in the theater with the young kid to watch something that you may not even want to go see.
I saw Moana twice.
But you go, and now that they got the bar and they got the nice seats and they got the whole thing, it makes it a little bit better experience
it
for
helps.
The adults, right?
I agree.
Yeah, that's the basic thing. I mean, part of there's the basic experience of watching the movie, which, you know, is a constant. It's kind of timeless. Everybody wants sort of that communal experience
right.
of knowing that what you find funny, other people find funny, and you laugh together, or you're scared together, or you're sad together. But one of the things that's really under the control of theater owners, because, you know, some movies are good, some movies are not so good. Although I have to say, some of my best experiences have been with friends seeing really terrible movies. You have a great time doing that.
That's very true.
But But the experience, the customer service, the seats, as you mentioned, I mean, you grab somebody by the butt and you've got their hearts and minds forever. They're really comfortable.
Yeah.
And people like them. And that feeling of it being a special experience in terms of, you know, how you're treated, what the amenities are, the new offerings of food and beverage, you know, having a drink, a cocktail before the movie, during the movie, after the movie, are all ways to really just add to that experience.
When you can have a martini at a James Bond movie, you know you have made it, right?
That's just right.
I mean, that's
it just feels right.
That's the thing. And you get to see it on the big screen, first run, and it's an event when you get to go see it. And things like, and the event movies are big, like, you know, Thor, gigantic, $121 million opening. The Star Wars movie is coming into theaters in December. Obviously, that's going to be a big deal. People are going to dress up as, you know, that's what they do. But so the story this week, which I found interesting, was that Disney, which now owns Lucasfilm, which does the Star Wars films, is going to jack up the percentage that they take from the theater owners from 60%, 60 cents on the dollar, to 65 cents on the dollar for that particular movie. And then I stopped and I thought to myself, Patrick, and I don't know where you want to go with this, but I just want to say one thing. I need to tell this to somebody who's got something to do with the industry. Mm-hmm. And I work for Disney. I worked for Disney for decades, and Disney made me a very, very happy individual over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't understand when you have a situation like this where you know that the theater owners have put all this dough into this. Mm-hmm. That you don't want to work with them, especially when you have something like that that's going to be good for everybody, and put the theater owners in a position where they're going to go, well, I don't know if I want to actually take that deal or take another deal. And I know that Star Wars film is going to be a big film, but it seems like I don't want trouble at this point between the theater owners and the distributors.
Sure. One of the things as a trade association we can't really get into at all are issues of pricing and competitive things from vendors to our theater owner members.
They have to work out for themselves.
But what I will say is that, you know, even with all of this streaming and everything else in the home, what's happened is there are fewer opportunities for distributors to make money off of their products, off of their movies in the home, than there used to be. There used to be, you know, DVD sales and rentals. There would be the pay TV. There would be, you know, video on demand and the cable TV, you know, offering, and then free TV. There are lots of different ways for them to exploit that. Now we're down to about two. There's the movie theater, and there's probably streaming, maybe, and DVD. That's about it. So the revenue they get from the movie theater is far more important to their bottom line than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
So they're struggling to keep a bigger piece of that pie. But the other fact, though, here that's important is that theater attendance is declining. As you mentioned, with all the streaming service and other options, people are not showing up in the numbers that they did.
Well, it's pretty close. I mean, we've had essentially the same level of attendance over the last decade. It's been about 1.3 billion tickets sold a year. Wow. And it fluctuates up or down depending on the movies that are in the marketplace. And as a point of comparison, that's 9 times more tickets than were sold to all major league sports combined.
That's so it's great. Still a big number.
Yeah, and because they are everywhere.
In that way.
But there's also, in terms of retail space in America, there's a very big argument that needs to be made, too, for movie theaters are a very important anchor for retail space, because in the Amazonianness of America, where people can sit around and you're sitting on your couch at home and you're ordering stuff and it's coming to your door, people are less, you know, year in, year out, bricks and mortar stores have had problems. So in order to create an experience where people are going to want to go shop and touch stuff and then buy it and carry it with them, you need to have draws to some of those places. And movie theaters are a critically important part of that experience and part of that draw.
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that we have seen over the last several years is a shift from sort of department stores being an anchor tenant to movie theaters being an anchor tenant. And the same is true of, you know, the downtown redevelopments. Whenever they're looking at trying to revitalize an area, they look at, can we bring a movie theater in? It's something that's central to being, you know, an American experience of entertainment and going out. And you know, you mentioned Amazon, and I'll just point out that Amazon releases movies to movie theaters, and they release them exclusively to movie theaters because they see it's important to their customers when they get to the point of renting or buying them from Amazon later. they value movies that have been in the movie theater more.
Sure, because you get it. First of all, they're refereed for you. If you see something that goes straight to video, it generally stars Nicolas Cage. And sometimes it's there are a couple of them that are actually kind of okay, but they try to save the money on the distribution, and then you don't really know when a movie comes out. It's marketed, and people talk about it. And if people actually make the decision to go see it, you know it's going to be better than something that you might. You know, if especially if they're going to charge you $4 for it or whatever, you're like, no, I'll just watch something that's already been in the theaters. So I just also think that this, I just don't want to see. I just want mommy and daddy to be fighting anymore, and I want to see the movie theater owners be able to make their money. I saw the story; it kind of made me mad because I see the upgrades that this industry has done to make the experience so much better than it has ever been. And at the same time, now the guys making the content deciding that, all right, well, we're going to price some content differently than, I know you can't comment on this, but price some content differently than others to try to create even more stress in an industry that's already stressed. And they need, even though they think, well, we'll just send it directly to people's homes. I'm sorry. That's not going to work for everybody, because you're going to want to see that Star Wars thing on a gigantic screen.
Well, that for sure.
You're not going to. I mean, some people will wait and they don't.
No, you can't wait for that.
But
I want to assure you that even though mommy and daddy fight sometimes, they love each other very, very much.
All right, good. And more importantly,
they love you.
Yes. Well, they do, because they've been. This has been a great year for movies, and this is going to be one of those years that, you know, people will talk about, because there's so many things that have come out that are just spectacular, and there's probably 6 or 7 more that are going to be, you know, Oscar contenders or classics that are coming out before the end of the year too. So that's a good
thing. Yeah, we felt very good about the year, and we feel really good about what's coming up in the remainder of the fourth quarter. Yeah. And, you know, the movie going doesn't end on December 31st. It continues on. It's not like, okay, we got through the end of the year, and now we're done. We can relax. There's going to be more movies.
Well, right, and there's Oscar season, too.
It keeps going.
Yeah, right. When the nominations come out, everybody has to go catch up and see stuff that they may not have already seen. All right. Well, congratulations on Ragnarok, because that was a damn good movie. That's going to tell you that right now. And it's got a Led Zeppelin song.
Again.
All right. Always selling. All right, Patrick, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Patrick.
All right, Patrick Corcoran from NATO. Not that NATO.
No, different NATO.
It's the Rokon Show. Hello, I'm right here. Rokon Show with.
Hello.
Thank you very much, Anna. With Anna DeVlantis. That's her right there. Hello.
Hello, both of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Present.
Thank you to Violetta. Thank you, Violetta. Hello, Kevin.
Present.
Hello.
And you just heard from.
How are you?
Judy.
You having a good day?
Oh, well, hi back.
All right, now we got it all worked out. Everybody knows who everybody is now.
Take your places, everyone.
Yes, places. Top 5 of 5 coming your way, everybody. Places. Wait, hold on. Places. Places.
Is it, though?
It's the top 5 there on the Rokon Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. We'll do exactly that.
Number 5.
Former TV anchor Heather Unruh spoke out publicly this morning to share yet another serious allegation against Kevin Spacey.
My son was not of legal age to drink alcohol. He told Kevin Spacey that he was of legal age. But whether he was over 21 or not, Kevin Spacey had no right to sexually assault him. There was no consent. Kevin Spacey bought him drink after drink after drink. And when my son was drunk, Spacey made his move.
Now, this is a different allegation than the allegation about the 14-year-old boy from a decade ago or a decade and a half ago or whenever that was.
This, Anthony Rapp from he's now a Star Trek Discovery actor.
Right. This is a kid who was 18 2 years ago. This is a year ago. This is from July of 2016.
That's a very recent.
This allegation right here. And she says that he was, that there was no anticipation. Her son, who then, again, was 18, but still, you know, under the drinking age, knew what was going to happen.
Spacey stuck his hand inside my son's pants and grabbed his genitals. This was completely unexpected. And my son's efforts to shift his body to remove Spacey's hand were only momentarily successful. My son panicked. He froze. Nothing could have prepared my son for how that sexual assault would make him feel as a man. It harmed him, and it cannot be undone.
And his story of what happened to him was backed up by others. There are now 13 accusers with it, Kevin Spacey's situation. And Harry Dreyfuss, the son of Richard Dreyfuss, said something very similar, gave a report to BuzzFeed about a very similar kind of incident of groping him out of nowhere. And he was 18 at the time.
It is, yeah, it's you start to understand why people are pulling away so dramatically from Kevin Spacey here.
Because there's more to it.
Yeah. And this apparently was it was like a career's worth of activity like this.
Over the course of years and years. But he's at the same sex rehab place as Weinstein's.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
Let's just hope that thing works over there. I don't know.
40 days. It's all taken care of, apparently.
Wow.
I don't know. I just feel for these victims.
And Weinstein is pushing back, too, on his own... On all the stuff about the use of spies or former spies from Assad and other folks to intimidate
journalists and people who might write about him and his sexual abuse allegations, that he apparently kept files is what the reporting has been on these people who, these were journalists in many cases, who would have done anything. So you'd think they'd use it to intimidate.
Well, let's see what happens there. That's going to be interesting, because then that's a whole other set of criminal activities. I do happen to believe, I don't know what's going to happen with Kevin Spacey, but I think that Harvey Weinstein is likely to face criminal charges.
It's very possible.
Before this is all said and done, because you just got and especially in criminal sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's invasion of privacy stuff he'll be sued for. And the Weinstein Company, by breaking itself apart right now, is the smartest thing they can do, because it would go broke from the lawsuits.
Yeah.
Any other way.
It was a powerful story of Drake explained why he chose not to work with Weinstein after hearing about some of his history. So, secret's out.
All right, checking in at
number four.
Jimmy Kimmel's back, and last night he joked about the president's trip to South Korea and the menu for the state dinner, which was a far cry from the president's preferred diet.
Trump is in South Korea right now, and part of the fun of Donald Trump being in a foreign country is figuring out what he's going to eat in that country. And this is what was on the menu for the state dinner tonight. Grilled sole, fish, not the thing that goes to heaven when you die. Shrimp stir-fry with noodles, and Korean beef served with a 360-year-old soy sauce. And if there is anyone who could appreciate a 360-year-old soy sauce, it is the man who puts ketchup on his chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, what is he eating over there? I've been wondering.
Well,
there's a guy who's got pretty established patterns.
The story was told that the White House had told the places where he's going to be, you know, they know where he's going to be eating every night for dinner,
sure,
right? And they talked about all that. And there's protocols, right? When a foreign head of state shows up anywhere, like they come to the United States, mm-hmm. there's an expectation of what they're going to be having. And there are very specific rules. Now, it is true. These guys are on tight travel schedules. We did once have a vomiting episode with a president in Asia. So we want to, you know, just want to make sure that you're not going to have a, you know, George Bush had a little problem.
He did.
He threw up on the Japanese prime minister. That was unfortunate. Yeah. You didn't throw up in front of the Japanese prime minister. You threw up on the Japanese prime minister. Oh. Anyway, so they don't want to have, and the president doesn't want, and the president, you can see that the president just kind of likes that sort of thing. To me, and I'm going to ask Kevin Powell this question really quickly about the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that he posted on the handicap website, you know, for golf, after every round of golf, theoretically,
oh God, I can't wait
you're
to
supposed
hear this.
To post your score.
Yeah.
And that then after you have 10 or 20 scores posted, they establish a handicap for you and you just maintain that handicap. And the handicap is an important thing. What the handicap does is that means everybody gets assigned a number, and between 1 or 0 and 36. And that's how many strokes you get in competition with people. So literally average golfers can go play Tiger Woods.
Right.
And be given Tiger Woods as an off two.
Supposed
or whatever.
To even the playing field, essentially.
Right. And let's say like I'm a 13 handicap, 14 handicap, whatever I am. Then I would get 14 strokes. Right? From and
so you
should
like a mid-80s roughly if you're like that sort of handicap.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
But that's so that would be right there, right? That would be the idea. So the idea here is that that you want to keep you want to be honest about it, because then it benefits you. Donald Trump posted, he only posted one score this year. It was a 68. It's very Kim Jong-un-ish, right?
Yeah.
They posted like a 27 once in an 18-hole.
He just happened to forget all the other scores that may have affected that, or just...
Yeah, all the other putts.
So he's just rolling with... What would your handy your scratch then?
Yeah. You'd be you post a number of 68s and you're going to be plus one, plus two, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played a lot of golf. You figured he'd punch at least one more score in, maybe a couple more.
Yeah.
No, I'll stick with that 68.
Yeah, 68. It's a feather better. He's not a sandbagger. He's a feather better. It's a different one. It's a bragging thing as opposed to a competitive thing. Interesting.
Yeah.
Separate. Sort of like the guy at the gym saying, how much can you bench? That's like golfers in the clubhouse going, so what's your handicap?
Yeah.
I'm a one.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I think he carries a four. But he gives himself a lot of putts, apparently.
Yeah. It's a Donald Trump four.
Yeah, I mean, to be a four, you got to be really 71 years old and have a four. I mean, that's pretty great if that's true. I don't believe it for a second. I don't think any real golfer does. But we all know people like that. So that's all.
It's
that
part
can be
of
said.
Golf, isn't it? Isn't there always one guy in every foursome who talks like that?
Well, there are guys who are like that, but generally in golf, you don't want to carry a high handicap if you don't have to.
Right.
Someone tell the president. Would you guys call him right away?
Well, because but the thing is, people are going to give him putts anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm good for
it
that.
It doesn't matter to him anyway.
20 footers. I'm good for that.
He just wants to carry a little handicap so he can tell everybody.
That's the point of that. I would like to have a 36 handicap. I would make bank.
I think I do, actually. I wouldn't be lying.
Win in every club tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a 36. All right, so the top 5 of 5 continues here, checking in at
number 3.
A new story in the Hollywood Reporter reveals that country singer Keith Urban is doing his bit to promote healing in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein allegations by releasing a song called Female. He's set to perform the song by songwriter Ross Copperman at tonight's CMA Awards. Urban says, as a husband and a father of two young girls, it affects me in a lot of ways. And as a son, my mother is alive. It just speaks to all the females in my life.
Sister, shoulder, daughter, lover, healer, broken halo, mother, nature, fire, suit of armor, soul survivor, holy water, secret keeper, fortune teller, virgin Mary, scarlet letter.
Kind of like that.
Can I ask this?
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman commented on this?
I haven't seen her speak out, in terms of being a victim or anything like that.
Yeah, but she was married to Tom Cruise, so that's just...
But I don't think that Harvey... Tom Cruise was a big enough star at that point that I don't think Harvey Weinstein had anything to do with... I'm talking about Harvey
Weinstein. Mean she suffered enough.
She spoke out about advice for young actresses in the wake of what's happened. She has addressed Harvey Weinstein head on in terms of, she's not ignoring it. She's not one of those that sort of says, oh, yeah, I know him, but I'm not saying anything.
Because Nicole Kidman was in films that Miramax had Weinstein had produced.
Yeah. She says, I support and applaud all women, these women who speak out against any abuse, domestic violence, or harassment. And then she goes on to give advice to women in the workplace. She's not hiding from it.
Checking in at
number 2.
Chance the Rapper showed up unannounced today at the city council.
And then the mayor bolted. Did you notice that part?
I think it's really interesting. You got to give Chance a lot of. I don't know if he's going to run for mayor. I know there's like an ABC sitcom about a young kid running for mayor and then winning.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, I don't know that really makes a ton of sense. And I'm kind of a little over the celebrity politician, but it's a separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, but you know, you do have to give this guy credit for stepping up and being involved in our city. So
put his money where his mouth is as well in terms of trying to help boost education funding in the city.
Now, he's upset about this proposed $95 million police and fire training facility. So he took the podium and...
Then the mayor left.
The mayor left and he reacted.
I'm here representing the city of Chicago, the students, principals, parents, and teachers of Chicago. I'm glad that I guess the mayor had to step out when I came up. But it's cool because I'm here to talk to you guys right now.
And then he basically went on to say, so what the hell's going on? But here is the mayor responding to what happened here.
Don't ever be late to calling a Jewish mother on her birthday. Just highly recommend it. So I was on the phone calling my mother and talking to her, who is hard of hearing, but to wish her a happy birthday.
Really? The hard of hearing part too? You had to throw that in there? Yeah. Go see her then in the morning. Bring her some flowers. Oh, my.
Yeah. I, you know what? Very rarely have I ever said these words. I agree with Violetta.
It was too coincidental, I think, the way it happened. He didn't.
Transparent.
Yeah. Oh, I have to call my mother. It was only 5 minutes available. 5 minute window. I got to go.
And Chance the Rapper's point is we need funding for mental health and education and so many other things in the city. The $95 million, where is it coming from? It's not clear. We had Alderman Riley on earlier said that this is really needed in order to advance police work and participate in the reforms we're being asked to participate in.
Yeah, and this is a combined for the fire and police.
That's right.
This is a gigantic project, and it will be a state of the art training center where we do not currently have a state of the art training center.
We do not,
and we need to have state of the art police and fire training in the city. There's no question about it. And we do have a great fire department, and I think we have a great police department as well. It is. Urban policing is tough in America, no matter how, anywhere, but in America, particularly tough now. And so there are challenges, but, you know, in terms of, I want to know whose cousin got a contract to make it $95 million. I'll bet we get away doing it at 65, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, it's a big number at a time when we don't have a lot of money. So I understand the questions, but, you know, maybe there'll be more answers.
I just want to make sure. I'd like to take a little looky-poo at the contract and see where they spend the 95.
Just give it a once-over.
Just a little once-over. I'm actually in favor of the project. Okay. Very in favor. And it's going into a neighborhood that could really use the construction jobs.
Absolutely true.
In East Garfield Park.
Use the stimulation that this would provide to the neighborhood.
Yes. But I'm sorry. I'll bet you I could find at least $5 million to take off that thing. At least.
Get your red pen out.
I got it. I'm ready to go. They can send it over to me anytime they're ready. All right, and finally.
Number one.
This is the way the Tribune headline, Man from Kenwood Released from Jury Duty. That was the headline. But that didn't really quite tell the whole story, as Barack Obama showed up at the Daily Center today because he got the call.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for serving on the jury. Or at least being willing to. Good to see you. How y'all doing? See, this looks like Chicago right here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
If I start taking selfies, then no work done. Look at this. Did you know I was coming?
Yes, I did.
See there? It must have leaked. He brought it, my book and everything. I can't sign autographs, but when the guy bought my book, I got it.
Can you buy the book with $17.20? Because that's what they all got today.
Paperback, not hardcover.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Probably not. Maybe the Kindle version. Hey, he says he doesn't sign autographs, right? Is that what he just said? But he would on the book there. Oh. He and Michelle won't do selfies, too. That's like this whole new thing.
They won't do them.
Yeah.
Why?
It's become a celebrity thing not to do selfies. Can't do selfies. I don't know. I don't know.
But he gave people time and handshakes.
Yes. Oh, no. He was great. No. He was great about
pressing the flesh.
Hey, let me tell you something. I have been in that room. There's nothing else to do. you're sitting there. You can't have your phone. You're not allowed to. You know, it's like you gotta do something. And there's only so much you can do. And it's like, you know, reading a hardcover book. You're like, I don't know. Should I really be? And the only hardcover book I have is, you know, like at home are like all health related, like, you know, me and irritable bowel syndrome. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like
probably not good in public.
Sort of the
who is that guy?
10 tips to keep your bowel less irritated. And you're like, hold on, Your Honor, I'm going through this thing.
Then you get labeled the IBS guy. Where's the IBS guy?
It's just
lunch was over an hour ago.
Just doesn't work.
Doesn't work. You're right. I'm reading this about Michelle and the former president. They do not do selfies. They think people don't look at them in the eye when they just trying to say, hey, take the picture and here's a camera and all that stuff. So
I'm actually with them on that. I think that the selfie is this thing in my hand that I can't let go of either is ruining our lives.
And yet you can't let go of
it. I can't let go of it, though. All right, here we go. Finally, let's close this thing out.
The top five at five.
Very rarely do you get a chance to talk to a true American hero, except on this program, about once a week. But
we tend to like to bring heroes on.
We do get them, but this is a special one right here. Mm-hmm. Commander Scott Kelly is joining us. He's in Chicago for a couple of days here, and he was kind enough to join us on Windy City Live earlier today, and I know he's going to be on the WGN TV Morning News tomorrow morning, and he's got a couple of books that he's one that's coming out and one that's out that we're going to talk about in just a second. But here's a man, and we had the guy who replaced you actually a couple of weeks ago on as a commander of the International Space Station.
Yeah, he was incredible.
And it's just amazing to go through with folks like you what that experience is like. Because, and I want to talk a little bit about something that came up today, Scott, that I thought was interesting earlier today. I know you're getting asked a lot about this on your tour right now, but about the relationship between on the International Space Station between the Russians and the Americans, because the stuff that's happening up there is not what is happening down here, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we're partners in this and in space, and when you are, you know, doing something as important and as risky, it brings people close together. And the, you know, we're great friends and colleagues with all the crew members, including the Russians, because, you know, we rely on each other for, you know, emotional support, friendship. Literally, in some cases, we have to rely on each other for our lives. So, you know, any kind of politics or conflict between, you know, the United States and Russia doesn't really translate to how we get along in space.
Yeah, and there's so much to be learned. It's been really decades now that we've been cooperating as opposed to strategic enemies about space, right? I mean, going back to Yuri Gagarin, you told which I thought was an amazing story, that the space programs share a lot of the same, in this particular case, superstitions, if you will, about what you do before you go into space, right?
You know, the Russians are a little bit more superstitious than I think the American culture, but we still have things that we do that are kind of funny and, you know, tradition. I guess you could call them, you know, superstition. The Russians have a little bit more, but yeah, we both have those things.
One of them I learned today, and I'm not quite sure how this works. You pee on the tire of the transport truck before
I read
you get
that too.
Before you go.
What is that
about? What goes on there?
Yeah, so when Yuri Gagarin, who was a Soviet cosmonaut, the first guy in space, when he was on the way to the launch pad, he had to urinate, so they stopped the bus. He got out. He, you know, undid his the seal in his spacesuit and peed on the tire.
Because you can't really do it the same way in space, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, but didn't our first guy in space also, didn't he go in his own suit because they held him on the pad so long?
Is that what they did?
I think that, isn't that true? That's in the right stuff.
I think what you're talking about is Alan Shepard. He had a big delay, so he had to relieve himself right in the suit.
And that was, so, I mean, that whole kind of going in space, I mean, that's just sort of the thing. I want to ask you, because this is interesting, in My Journey to the Stars, your book, you talk about how you struggled as a kid, as a student. And there's something, this to me is fascinating, because I also did as a kid. I couldn't concentrate on stuff. I had trouble keeping my attention when I was reading and stuff like that. I would daydream and stare off into things. And it was until you read the right stuff, right? Till you saw that when you were off to college, that you decided to kind of buckle down.
Yeah. So, just to backtrack a little bit and clarify something, I have two books out. You said one was coming out. I have actually two that were published on October 17th.
Okay.
The autobiography is called Endurance, A Year in Space, A Lifetime of Discovery. The children's book is called My Journey to the Stars, and it's, illustrated children's book for like 6 to 8 years old. And but what you're referring to is, yeah, I was this kid that couldn't do his homework and pay attention, kind of on the the fast track to nowhere. And I was in college just kind of meandering about and discovered the book The Right Stuff by Tom Wolfe, and it really spoke to me that there were things that I can do that maybe I thought wasn't possible. If I could only become a better student, which was not easy, but I clearly achieved that because I'm here talking to you guys today.
Yeah, we're glad you did, and we're glad the pictures you sent home and the experiences you had. I was reading the reviews of Endurance, and it feels to me as if you captured the emotions of what it might be like to be in space for those of us who may never get an opportunity to feel that. And you talk about the confrontation of mortality, just climbing into a rocket that might kill you, and the adventure and the challenges of dealing with constantly a threat out there, but also the mundane part of just being up there. And it feels to me like it's inspiring, but do you get emotional in this book? Do you talk about how you were feeling when you went through the entire experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted this book to be, certainly part of it is about my experience as an astronaut and flying in space and being a test pilot, but I also wanted it to be a human story. And I think to do that, you have to share, not only the positive things, but the negative things in your life, in your personal life in some cases. You know, some of these things are kind of cringeworthy a little bit, but I think it makes the whole story a better story.
Yeah. Yeah,
it does.
Well, it's got to be, one could just imagine it's a confined space.
Right.
And people are, that's one of the great fears, right? Being in a confined space. And it's not like it's a confined space and you can crawl yourself out of it or dig yourself out of it. You open the door, it's over for everybody, right? I mean, there's no good answer to that.
No.
And you do, and it's a sociological experiment as well as anything else, right? Because it's everybody having to get along, especially if something, potentially dangerous is happening. And that does happen to you guys while you're up there, because you have to move the space station around, right, to avoid things that might be coming at you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on that we don't, and it goes on right now as we're sitting here. It's still going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a challenging place to live. It's a stressful environment. It's risky. It's not as small as you think it might be. It's actually a pretty large facility, like a big house. But like you said, you could also never leave, and that was the hardest part of being in space for a long period of time, is that if something, I was never really that, I was a little bit concerned, but I didn't like worry about my personal risk. What worried me the most is something happening to one of my family members while I was in space with no way to get home and be with them.
Right.
Mm, I can see that.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think of all the investment in private space travel? We hear so much about it now. All the tech billionaires are pouring billions of dollars, and with the idea that space tourism in the near future would be a potential reality for people. Is this a good thing?
Those guys are a bunch of really smart guys, and I think they figured out that if our society is going to continue to prosper and thrive and grow, we need to grow into space. I don't think nor should anyone think about, hey, we can ruin this planet because we can find some other one somewhere else that we can live on. We clearly need to take care of this one. But certainly being involved in the access to space for everyone, and getting into that on the ground floor is a pretty pretty smart investment, a smart thing to be doing. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there was some talk that the current administration is thinking about another set of moon missions? Do you think it would make more sense to go to the moon, or should we be focusing on Mars or both? What do you think?
I think in the perfect world, I think going back to the moon would be great. I think there's still a lot of you know, science to be done, still a lot of exploration of the lunar surface to be done. It's also a great place to practice to go to Mars. It's, you know, 2 days away instead of 200. It's got a third, a sixth of Earth's gravity versus a third like Mars. It has no atmosphere versus a little. So it seems like it was put that put exactly where it was like it was so we could practice going to Mars. But we don't have an unlimited amount of money.
Right.
And, you know, if you only have so much, maybe going directly to Mars is the better plan. I think, though, what NASA really, really needs is consistency in a plan, sticking with it, and having a budget that supports that plan.
Right. And mm-hmm. And I think to second that thought, that a long-term plan, a long-term budget that is guaranteed, because they've had so many of these, especially since the lunar missions, they've been on again, off again, on again, off again. Obviously, they wanted to get the shuttle up and going, and the shuttle had, you know, other applications as well. I mean, it was certainly, you know, great for, you know, human morale and all of that. But, you know, there's a military application for an item like that that they were also considering. This seems, you know, the moon and Mars and places beyond that, you know, that's kind of a human endeavor, and being able to make a commitment to a human endeavor like that. And it is, it's billions upon billions of dollars to mm-hmm. be able to do that. But it is, you know, I think, like you said, Scott, it's one of those situations where we do have to start to think about this at
right.
some point.
Have a long-term plan.
Yeah, I think. And so it is. It's something special. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you being with us. And again, the two books, Endurance, which is the biography that is out with Scott Kelly, Commander Scott Kelly from International Space Station, and spent the most amount of time of any American in space continuously on the International Space Station, and over two tours, right? Did you do 500 in total and three with 333 the second time? Is that right?
I flew in space four times. My last flight was 340 days long.
340 days.
Gee, could you have lasted any longer, Scott, do you think? How much
I could have lasted another year if there was a good reason for it, but I was ready to come
home.
Was
there a good reason for it? After 340 days, you go, hey, how good could that reason have been, I wonder, after 340 days? That would have been something.
Something special.
And right. The other, A Journey to the Stars, which is another book, too, and that's for kids, right? That's an inspirational book for kids. All right, Commander, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, this is a rare Wednesday appearance mm-hmm. for Susie Sunshine, as she's known on this program. Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas, who is in Chicago. I guess did some other media appearances. I don't know anything about it. And she's here in the studio with us right now. And thank you so much for being with us, because there's a lot of stuff going on today.
Yeah, there is a lot.
Today, the one-year anniversary of the election of Donald Trump.
Indeed.
He celebrated it by tweeting out "Congratulations, deplorables," which I thought was a little. I don't quite know where he's. I mean, I know where he's going there, but really, he's talking about what a great win that he had a year ago. Although yesterday, not quite the same kind of enthusiasm for him, and certainly not in the polls. But if you want to look at one probably most important thing, the sort of thing that he would like us all to look at, it's the stock market. Stock market is closed today at 23,500.
Whoa.
Right? That's a big, big number. I had a guy a year ago said, hey, don't you worry about it. When the stock market a year from now is at 26,000, you're going to be fat and happy. And I thought to myself, it'll never be. It's not going to make 20,000. And now it's at 23,000. So that guy was almost right. He was 60%, 70% right.
Higher than most predicted, would you say, Susan?
He was close. No, I think there's always a range of predictions. He perhaps was a little bit higher than most in the year time frame. But You know, the stock market has had a great run here. And in fact, that is what President Trump is touting, that the market has done so well in his first year. And statistically, this first year of his presidency, this is the most the market has risen since, you know, essentially World War II for the first year of anyone's presidency. And so President Trump is touting that as one of his successes. The offset to that is that we are enjoying a nice run of strong earnings reports from companies that are lifting valuation. We're seeing the global situation improve year over year. There certainly was some euphoria in the market about potential change to tax or regulation when he was first elected, but that has abated and kind of ebbed and flowed throughout the year. But the market has done well because of where we are in the economic cycle. And so that's usually every president has to deal with this, and you either win or you lose. It has nothing to do with what you actually do, because you're riding the wave that was set up before you. And so remember that economic cycles take a really long time. This isn't something that we could flip a switch and turn overnight. And so what we're seeing is this nice continuation of our recovery out of the recession.
But don't the markets also reflect future, the belief that the future is going to be positive or negative? And
they
doesn't
do.
That fuel and some of this
they definitely
enthusiasm?
Do. And some of that is consumer confidence. They also reflect what are your investment options across the board. Mm-hmm. And we still have extremely low interest rates. Even though interest rates are going up, it's still very gradual and it's a very small number. Interest rates are low globally. And so there aren't a lot of alternatives. You've got, you know, emerging markets, developed markets, so international, which is doing better. And you've got that starting. But people, for the most part, have wanted stability and safety, which has been the U.S. markets. Bonds haven't been great. So we've looked towards where you can get the best return. And that has driven a lot of money into the stock market.
You've talked on the show a lot about how the tax cut for businesses is kind of baked into this market as well, and that it might not be, certainly not welcome news, but might be also a little bit of shocking news if it doesn't get passed anytime soon. How do you think the market is reading what's happening right now, where it doesn't seem like surefire passage
it
of
doesn't.
What they have?
So I think you're seeing that in the ups and downs. Last week, people were feeling pretty good about, you know, this is great. We've got a tax plan. Look, what got announced. This is something we can grab hold of. And this week, I think there's been a little bit of the realization of, oh, right, we've got to get everyone in Congress. There's two things called Congress, Senate, the House.
Yeah.
They have to agree on
this.
Not
agreeing on much lately.
Right. And so there's going to have to be a discussion around this. And then people are going to have to agree. And that slows things down. And that's what we saw. You know, we had a big rush in the market after President Trump was first elected. And there was a run into year end and into the beginning of 2017 because people were really optimistic. And then suddenly the inauguration happens. And once again, oh, right, Congress gets involved with a lot of this, too. And we're going to have to go through this procedural process to get everything passed and through and get these ideas aired out. And then everything slows down. So the market has a tendency to get a little bit ahead of itself and then it backs up. So last week, I think we were a little bit ahead of ourselves on optimism on this. This week, if you read the various pieces, market always a little short-sighted, is going, oh, wow, this is actually going to be kind of hard. And so they're backing up a little bit. You're seeing rotation between the sectors. But again, the underlying here on the market is we are seeing people who want to stay invested in equities. There aren't a lot of options to get return elsewhere. And companies, we're at the end of earnings season, companies are showing that they can still make money and they're profitable and they're getting growth.
Who wouldn't want to get a 28% annual growth rate
right.
in an investment.
Isn't that
ridiculous? Yes. It's ridiculous. I mean, people, you know, it used to be thought if you got 5%, it would be something year to year. Mm-hmm. But the Dow grew 28%
right.
in 1 year. It's incredible.
And let me clarify on that. That is because people are willing to pay more to move into higher quality, higher returning companies. So we talk about this. There's a lot of money that needs to get some sort of return, and people are chasing that return in the market, and they're staying in stocks trying to find what the best options are. And it's because that relative choice makes well-performing companies so much more attractive than what you might be able to invest in elsewhere.
story about home ownership and how it's kind of on the rise right now, partly because millennials are finally moving out of the nest.
Right,
they're buying some homes.
Where's Kevin?
And Kevin's done this the last couple weeks.
Kevin just did it.
All
Kevin,
punk
how are you
kids
feeling?
Mooching off their parents. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Time to
get out of your parents' house, you bum millennials.
I know. Is your mother dropping off food for you?
Yeah, I'd go and check on the roommates and pick up some food.
You know. You go. Okay.
His old roommates, as he likes to call them.
Former roommates.
One day we'll get that other one out of the house, but I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
Why? Did you hear anything?
Anyway, so the point is that sending a little bit of a shock into a lot of companies that have really doubled down on the bet that people will be renters in the long term as opposed to buyers.
Yeah. Well, right. And what we've seen, remember, think of a pendulum. We always swing too far in one direction. So when we have optimism about renting and that there are going to be a lot of people who want apartments to rent going forward, we see a lot of buildings starting. And apartment buildings take several years to complete. So we're seeing a lot of supply. Just look at the Chicago market. We're seeing a lot of supply come online. Mm-hmm. And now we're saying, well, maybe we overdid it just a little bit. And so we perhaps have gone too far. There's a process here where the market has to absorb.
But you could go
that.
The other way there, too, because those buildings could go turn into condos.
They could. Now, but that will be after they're completed and they
the
put
next
up.
Cycle.
And they were all started, and the construction and the idea behind this was when, you know, if we go back 2 years, everyone wanted to rent. People were still hesitant about buying. Now, millennials, yes, we're seeing this large demographic trend. Eventually, if you look over a long time frame, we do see that household formation drives the purchase of homes and moving out of apartments and going into something that you own. And we've seen that also because we incent that in this country via the tax benefits that you get. So that calls into question what's going on in the current proposals for the new tax bill. Is that going to change? What happens now? Interest rates are starting to creep up. Does that then inhibit people going out and trying to get a mortgage? Are they worried about that? Are they rushing to go do it now to try and beat the next interest rate hike? We've got a lot of different factors there influencing things. It is nice to see that the millennials are progressing. At least one of them. As I say, Kevin, we're proud of you.
No big deal.
And hey,
50% of the ones on this show.
I don't appreciate that from any of you.
I think, by the way,
mostly Kevin.
I think it was a big deal for Kevin. I think it was very much a big deal. Yeah,
it's a huge deal.
Yeah,
really tell me, Bob. Got my own Wi-Fi password now.
Yeah,
there you go. So it's nice to see that, and it's good. And demographic trends would say that, you know, home ownership continues to be an important part of the culture and of American society, and that's something that we're going to keep doing going forward. And we just were at a really overly accelerated pace, you know, before as we went into our recession. A lot of people, you know, think about how many things you heard about. Well, I'm going to get a second home. I'm going to get something that I can rent. I'm going to get a, you know, we're going to get a third vacation
Airbnb
home.
Airbnb we'll has rent changed it out. A lot of
third
this.
Vacation
exactly.
home.
Exactly.
People kind of went to town. And so, you know, but how many people are going to fill those up? Airbnb is, you know, the antithesis of that. We're going to share properties instead.
No, that's what the millennials like. Let's share it all. I'd like to share a lollipop.
Can I live off of Airbnb? Just keep moving?
Yes. Right. Well, just you could ask your parents about that. Well, can you get me an Airbnb? You're gonna be the next one with the.
You could go live in my parents' basement now.
Right,
there's a vacancy at the Apollo compound.
Airbnb that out. Yeah. Make some money now that you're gone.
All right, I want to ask very quickly here before we let you go. All right, 28% growth year to year since the president was elected, and he's taking the lion's share of the credit for it. And again, there's a lot of different factors here, but let's give him some credit for at least allowing business owners and leaders.
Business
to
confidence,
think,
consumer confidence, very important.
Right.
So it's very important to have that confidence level high in the market, and we do have that.
But does there, and I don't mean to put it by that, because this is amazing growth, but there will be a correction at some point. Market's
There's
correct.
Always a correction at some point. Nothing goes up in a straight line forever. So we're always going to see some sort of up and down.
But because we've had a 28% growth, we expect more than a 10% correction?
Not necessarily, because again, the underlying support here, the fundamentals, having just gone through earnings season, you know, we're still seeing the trailing end of companies report. Managements are talking about good business. You know, business is doing well. They're still able to see sales growth and earnings growth. That's all very positive and important to support the valuations in the market right now.
Okay. All right. Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt, Westwood in Dallas. Thank you so much. She's in Chicago right now.
Good to see you on a Wednesday.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks
for having
me. Love our Friday chats.
And she travels around the country and around the world deciding what Americans should be investing
in.
All right. Right now, Violetta Pattermedic is going to travel around the highways and byways of Chicago.
Third vacation home. I still can't get over it. Outbound Eisenhower really heavy still at 1 hour 15 minutes from the old post office at Thorndale, about 54 minutes in. Outbound Stevenson's not much better at 1 hour 3 minutes. Lakeshore Drive to 355. Inbound side recovering a little bit at 44 minutes. If you want traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
All of us. Online.
WGNRadio.com.
What's the best part about the holidays? Getting presents. The worst? Figuring out what to get people. Violetta Podrumetic here to make it easy and tell you about the perfect gift. The Ovation Hair Holiday Gift Set. Ding, ding, ding. It's 7 of Ovation's best-selling hair products in one gorgeous gift box. It includes my favorite, the cell therapy treatment for thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair, guaranteed or your money back. It also comes with the Luxe Shampoo, Essential Hair Oil, a detangling comb, and a hair mask for deep hydration that helps repair damaged hair. With its special pricing of almost 60% off, it's perfect for every single friend and family member on your list. It definitely works for me, and I want to share it with all of my loved ones and you. Go check it out for yourself at ovationhair.com. And you can get an additional new customer discount on top of the almost 60% savings by selecting WGN Radio at checkout. Great hair and the perfect gift is just a click away at ovationhair.com. Go get them while they last.
If you're not incorporated and you're a truck driver, a cafe owner, a construction contractor, a real estate agent, a consultant, or any small business owner, then you are at risk. If someone sues and you're not incorporated, you could lose everything. Your home, your car, even your personal life savings. That's why Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation toolkit to all business owners, including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. For your free incorporation toolkit, call now. 1-800-600-8111. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. So if you're a personal trainer, a travel agent, or run a tech startup or any small business, call now for your free incorporation toolkit. They're giving them away for free at 1-800-600-8111. That's 1-800-600-8111.
Holidays are right around the corner, and that timeshare bill in your mailbox is never a great gift to receive, is it? Sounded good at the when you had the free brunch, right, at the hotel. And you're like, oh, I get a timeshare.
Do they serve cocktails of those things?
Yeah, yeah, some of them. Like, oh, it was a cocktail party. Oh, timeshare. What? And the next thing you know, you've signed into a million-year agreement for your timeshare that you're not using. Well, you want to get out of that timeshare? Timeshare compliance. That's who comes in. They partner with attorneys who can actually get you out of the timeshare contract. No more annual dues. No more special assessments. And if there's any doubt in your mind, timeshare compliance has a program where you don't get paid. They don't get paid, I should say. They don't get paid until you get out of your timeshare. They also have an offer for a money-back guarantee as well. Visit timesharecompliance.com. Better yet, call them yourself right now. 800-317-1587. 800-317-1587. Timeshare Compliance, 1-800-317-1587.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 on WGN-TV.
All right. We've got coming up in the we got Judy's News. Mm-hmm. She's getting all ready to tell us more about Barack's big day in court today.
Not chosen for the jury, but a lot of people got to shake hands with the prez.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Well, it's the greatest headline maybe in Tribune history since Dewey defeats Truman is Kenwood man released from jury duty.
It's like, wait a minute. We recognize that guy.
Great sense of humor All right. So there's that and everything else that's going on. World War III has not broken out yet, so that's good.
President's in China.
Mm-hmm. Or, as he'd say, China.
He's eating American food, and that's okay.
Right. There was apparently there was a little bit of a kerfuffle over his menu.
They didn't have cheeseburgers and chicken nuggets.
They
didn't have ketchup.
Apparently was a right. They, no ketchup. And there was one dinner that he was at in South Korea where they didn't get the memo.
They tried getting all fancy.
They were getting all Korean on him. They were getting all boom, bim, bop, or bulgogi.
He's like, so where are my dinosaur chicken nuggets?
Yes, exactly.
Frozen, please.
Is he doing the chopsticks?
Where's the taco bowl? That's as exotic as he gets, is the taco bowl salad. By the way, the best. Happy Mexican Day. that's Cinco de Mayo. Whatever. So that's, yeah.
He wasn't into the sushi in Japan. I noticed that. He did a little more of the Americanized versions, the steaks and the hamburgers kind of thing.
He does eat like an 8-year-old. But it is what it is. I mean, that's, you know.
What he likes.
Yeah, that's what, you know, there's just people like that. It's funny, though. You know, he plays really to the type, right? Of like the, you know, kind of. It's like grandpa or the, you know, the uncle, you know, coming over to Thanksgiving. He doesn't like anything. Mad at everybody. Always talking bad about everybody else.
Pour salt over everything, no matter what you give him.
Yeah, and then he wants to eat. I don't want anything fancy. Just want the potatoes. Right. And I want the turkey.
And don't put the gravy on the potatoes.
God forbid, there's anything green on the plate. Brussels sprouts.
What is that?
Brussels sprouts.
I'm eating in front of the TV. Don't talk to me.
Exactly. Turns on Fox News and just watches that.
Falls asleep in and out the whole night.
Right.
On one of those folding tables.
The only difference between your grandfather and him is he's got a phone and he knows what Twitter is. It's the only thing.
He's not using the full 280 characters yet, I've noticed.
Did that start today?
I thought that was starting today. Yes.
I think it started yesterday or today. But
some people
were bad timing. Bad presidency to do this.
This is the worst. It should go down to like 50 characters, and then good luck everybody.
But it's
you can't say. I believe if you can't say in 140 characters, you shouldn't say it.
Yeah, but
period.
Twitter said they were getting a lot of, you know, competition from the Facebooks of the world. People wanted to make complete thoughts, and there you go.
Really?
Yeah.
On Twitter, that's what it's known for—the complete thought.
Not really.
I don't think so. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. A couple things that we need
to...
in the news that we should get to here at the as we head toward the 7 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there is a new app available that allows you to determine if the McFlurry machine at your local McDonald's is on the fritz.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They break down all the time.
Break
down all the time?
I had no idea this was a problem.
It's like an internet thing. People are always furious about it. Yeah.
I mean, don't you just mix in the Oreos with the ice cream? That's it. That's a McFlurry.
Well, there's a whole machine that blends it all together.
The McFlurry machine is out. Now, the funny thing is, I have noticed, and the reason I bring this up, first of all, the fact that this app exists...
That's a problem.
...is its own... We're getting a little too specific here, people. I mean, how many apps do you have on your phone that you have to create...
talk about first world problems. I mean, my gosh.
Yes, that's true.
You can't get a McFlurry?
Yeah, right. If you're craving a McFlurry and they're not ready, I mean, that's totally understandable.
This is why the world hates us.
Exactly.
Even in Russia, where there's 16 people living in a one-room apartment...
They're like, these people monitor their McFlurry machine at the McDonald's. Right.
Go ahead, to make more app to screw up American political system, right? Because they're like, they got to take us down. If our big issue today is that we now have to create an app because when we get to McDonald's, we don't want to be annoyed that the McFlurry machine isn't working.
And there's another McDonald's two blocks away, probably, not even.
Russian hacks probably created the app to embarrass us.
There's nothing, that's probably true. There's nothing worse than your McFlurry being broken at one McDonald's. And you go, well, there's another McDonald's two blocks away. And they go there, and that's broken too. What happens then?
Well, that's a problem for a lot of people, I suppose. I find that the ice cream machine is the one that's down all the time, just in general. Have you guys ever tried to just get like
McDonald's low-key some of the best ice cream around?
Really?
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
It's kind of salty, but
oh,
I like
so
it.
So good.
I love it.
Like, they don't get enough love for their ice cream. Their
that's
shakes,
true. They've
their
always
McFlurries,
been, they've always been
the cone. So good.
Do you remember the mini little ones the kids used to get?
Yeah.
Do you still get those? Do you still go in and order the...
They were free when I was little.
Through the drive-thru, they might still give it to you for free if you just ask them for it. If you let it ask, don't you think they would?
Right. Oh, yes, little girl.
Oh, sure.
Sure, you could have one.
Why, yes. Would you like a Happy Meal as well?
I do like Happy Meals. Mm-hmm.
That is a really strangely dressed 8-year-old. the app is called Ice Check.
This is real. Are you sure this is not?
Do you have to pay for the app?
It's like some kid came up with it. That actually, Raina McLeod is the name of the person who.
Do you have
came
to pay for
it.
The app? Does it say?
I don't know.
Pay app?
I didn't get that far.
Oh gosh, they do track the ice cream too. Find McDonald's ice cream every day with real time updates from users and participating locations.
Mm-hmm. Now, I went in today. I had a total first world doughy white guy problem today.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
I went in to get my fourth coffee of the day at Starbucks, and I'm over-caffeinated. There's just no question about it. And they had at the Starbucks, the nitro machine was out. And I don't know what that's all about. That's annoying.
Oh, you're getting the
I haven't gotten on the nitro train yet.
The
it's
nitro,
pretty good.
It's nitro that's gonna. There's a whole thing that goes on.
It's like you're drinking a Guinness.
Yeah, it's coffee Guinness. Kinda is basically
sweet.
What it is.
Coffee's already expensive at Starbucks. The nitro is like
$5.
It's so expensive. If my
grandmother were alive today, she would be out of her frickin' mind that I am paying $5 for a cup of coffee. She was upset when it went to 15 cents from a dime. I mean, she was that. She still talked about it until the day she died. On her deathbed, she was complaining about it.
McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts both have a great senior citizen discount as well.
Of course they do, because then otherwise they're going to complain on Facebook.
And if you go to a McDonald's in-store brick and mortar, actually, instead of the drive-thru, in the morning, there's like 50, it's like an elderly community in there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a whole thing.
They
it
like
always
hang out.
Yeah.
They bring their own cookies too, I think.
Yeah.
The lady comes from behind the counter and pours coffee like into their cup like they're at a diner. I've seen it.
Well, that's where they get around. That's how they meet, and then they get to talk about Donald Trump.
Do their politicking.
Right, and how great he is. And unless he's going to touch their Social Security, which they get upset about.
But how much do you think people would really pay for a cup of coffee? I mean, what's the top number? Because I feel like it's approaching that right now. And then Starbucks came out with the Reserve brand, and those are sometimes six. I had like a chocolate something from that brand. It was $6.75 or
something. It's not worth it.
And they put in a special cup so everyone knows you got the Reserve.
Yeah, so you're special. Yeah, that's gone too far.
I was like, that's lunch. $6.75. I mean, it was
but
crazy.
The Nitro is crazy, though. Nitro's like crack, man.
I asked for the Venti, and she's like, whoa. We only do like Grande because that's the legal amount of caffeine we can actually give out in a cup. I was like, holy crap, maybe I'll get the smaller one.
Well, right, because the Venti, you can either get the tall or the Grande.
Right.
No
Venti.
Yeah, because they're just not allowed to do it. Because it's a delivery system. It's not just the amount of caffeine that's in the nitro.
Oh, it hits you hard, man.
Because it's got the nitrogen that suspends it. It gets into your bloodstream faster.
Dude.
Let's chug some tomorrow together.
I swear to God, I actually inhaled some of it. And it was like, I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
Oh, I almost drowned. It's crazy. But so the nitro machine was out, and I thought I was going to like lose it. I'm like, what do you mean the nitro machine's out?
It's like the calm. Like for a second, you're like, should I freak out?
I swear to God, there are guys on the West Side selling nitro like into people's cars.
So like, you're saying you want an app to know
like,
the nitro machine?
It's like, give me the money and drive around the corner and get the nitro. It's like, it's crazy.
Pump it straight into your bloodstream. Don't even drink it.
First taste is free, man.
Just to get you up.
It was insane.
It is addictive, I swear, because it is creamy and it's got that frothy feeling. Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Oh, the first sip of nitro. You know how the first sip of beer is like the greatest thing ever?
Yeah.
It's like nitro has found a way. The nitro brew And it's not just Starbucks. Other people have the Nitro Brew.
I do.
And quite honestly, other people's Nitro Brew, I found, there's some little coffee houses that have it that are better than the Starbucks.
Wow. And the Starbucks gives you a special lid for it.
Yeah.
You notice that? Because they don't want you drink it out of a straw. So it's like a grown-up sippy cup, kind of.
Yeah. It's like a whole deal.
It's kind of cool.
That allows your top lip to actually endure, to
quiver.
Yes.
I was like freaking out when she was explaining it to me. I was like, I'll try this Nitro thing. And then I was like, I'm like, just give me a regular coffee. Like,
guys are getting me excited. I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going
tomorrow's
on.
Tomorrow's interesting.
No, but you got to go to the right one. So when they didn't have it. But I've noticed that there has been, within the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what's happening here. And I don't know if there's, if I should be getting out my prepper supplies or something. But I'm going to restaurants and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of that.
Really?
Or we don't have that, or our something, our so-and-so is broken.
That's been happening to me, too.
I have noticed that more now.
People are slacking.
Well, I'm wondering, who do I blame for that? Is it Trump? Thanks, Obama? What do I do? I don't know what to do. Because I just noticed that there's more and more and more of, I'm sorry, we sold out of that.
Right. Why are they okay to tell us no?
It's all the organic movement.
No,
have enough of it.
I don't even know what that. I mean, stuff that they would like normally have.
It's sorry, our farm on our roof didn't produce enough apples for you. We're out.
Well, that could be the problem.
You know, it's like
everything's locally sourced.
Yeah, they don't
now,
get these mass quantities. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, but you're never supposed to say no to a customer.
Well, you're getting it more and more now. Specials of the night. You know, like you go to a place a steak place that does like that are known for steaks. Right. I'd like a steak. Oh, I'm sorry, we're sold out for the night. You go, what?
Right.
How could you be sold out?
Right. It's like 6:30.
I think it's the organic thing. People aren't like.
I think they're they're buying less stuff, but then they get you in. It's like going to a bar and they go, oh, no, we're out of liquor. I don't understand.
That's what I came here for, guys.
Yeah.
And I've never experienced this as much as I have in the last 2 months.
That's weird. I wonder if there's something to that.
Must be the time change.
There's an operating theory that it's because the food costs are up so significantly.
That you don't want to overbuy.
So
and labor costs are up.
Yeah.
That the restaurants are being very careful about what their supply chain looks like. So they want to make sure that they're not overbuying. They don't want spoilage.
It's going to hurt business in the long run, though.
I would think. I don't know. We should call Bronco about that.
Oh, Bronco will never say no. He'll go get it from another store and just serve it to you.
So you're saying we can go for McFlurries?
Actually, what's really funny is he'll go, and I would like that. I'd like a cheeseburger. Don't worry. Next thing you know, a McDonald's cheeseburger on a plate will arrive. And you're like, this tastes just like a McDonald's cheeseburger. Yes, we're very proud. Well, did you see there was a woman in California that got in trouble? I think this is in San Diego, for her. She had like a breakfast place, and she was selling chicken and waffles, and the chicken was from Popeyes.
Oh, God.
She literally would drive a block away to the Popeyes to get the Popeyes and then serve it with her waffles.
I love Popeyes.
No, my dad did it more with like if we're out of a beer and they're like, oh, that's the only beer I like. Then he runs to the liquor store, get a six pack.
No, he didn't. He never did that.
Oh, no, that's illegal. He just, takes care of his customers.
He does. That we can say that for sure. You don't have a bad time and you don't have a bad meal. There.
Yes.
A little book rest.
That's correct.
A little Saganaki. Get things going.
So anyway, the point is, so we don't get Bronco arrested before the end of this, by his own daughter's admission. I would just like to say that there is something happening here in the universe, in the restauranting universe, that I don't fully understand and I am worried about. Because I've never encountered this as much as no weed ran out. For weeks now I've been getting that. In places I wouldn't even anticipate them to say no to me.
You're ordering the most popular thing probably too, Ro.
But a most popular thing, you would think they would have all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm totally on your side.
I'm with you.
I haven't Ro's noticed
strong.
That.
We'll
I
get through this later, guys.
I couldn't even
fathom the thought of a restaurant not having something like on a menu or something like that. And I agree, it happens more and more now.
Yes, it's where is that? Why is that happening? Mm-hmm. And then the machine being broken too. I don't want when you go to a place, and that's the thing. The Nitro machine's constantly not working at the Starbucks. And the other thing, by the way, I'd like to if I get Howard Schultz on the get Schultz on the blower for me.
See if he'll call in. We got some things to talk about.
At the Starbucks, again, this is, you know, totally like, you know, white people problems. I get it. But the little plunger,
yes,
stirrer,
the coffee
green
stopper. Yeah.
Coffee stopper.
Yeah, those have gone away.
That's, you go to certain places, oh, no, we're out of those.
Or sometimes the carrying containers.
You
I'm
can't
like,
be out of those.
Those don't go old, so it's not like.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you forgot to order, which. And someone
I'd like
be
to
in
see
trouble.
A manager
yes.
here.
Right. I'd love to be
how
the barista
to carry
that
the
serves
six
you guys. What am I supposed to do?
I got to a point where I will just talk to managers now. I never did that before, but see, I'm getting cynical in my old age.
Once I get to that age, I know I've gotten older. Because growing up, that was like if my mom was like, let me speak to the manager, I'd be like, oh, dear God, I got to get out of here. There's
so going
to be a scene. Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I mean, this was like 6 months ago, but you know,
when you were living at home. But now that you're home, yeah. on your own,
moved down a little bit from it. But mm-hmm. I know if I ever ask for the manager, that's when
something really, something very screwed up has just occurred. If you have to, if Kevin Powell asks for the manager,
right?
Ma, ask for the manager.
I'm gonna get my mom here. She's gonna ask for the manager. You guys are in trouble when she gets here in like a half hour.
I'm telling my ma.
Yeah, I bet there's something weird going on. So I earned my Rose Strong bracelet today when I made
Good
it
job.
Through and just had a...
Four nitros today?
I just had a regular coffee. I just had, it was on my third coffee of the day. It was a regular coffee.
Iced or hot?
No, just hot.
Okay. I've gone hot. You've gone hot, I don't do that.
I go ice when it's 0 degrees out.
November.
So that's it. But I would like someone to fix the nitro. At Michigan and Lake, please. If I could just ask, get Schultz on the blower.
My favorite is when you use the Starbucks app, though, and it'll say there are no Starbucks near you, or there's no store.
And you're standing
in
the Starbucks.
I'm on Michigan Avenue. There's a store there.
They have the worst app.
They got to work some things out there.
Right. They were like, you order a coffee. The current location does not have coffee. You're like, yes, it does.
I know it does. I'm sure it does. Pretty sure.
Maybe they're out. I'm sorry, we don't have coffee today.
We can throw like a rock to four different locations from the front of this building
and hit a Starbucks.
Right,
that's really true. You could not even crawl. You could roll. You know, like when you're a little kid and you just roll like across a room.
Yeah,
you could roll to three Starbucks from where we're sitting right now and not get dizzy.
Pretty much.
No, it's so true. So how can they tell you there's no Starbucks near you? No location.
All right.
Doesn't make sense.
I'd like some things fixed around here, and I don't know what it is. I know the stock market's at all-time highs, but someone's cheating here because things aren't working exactly.
Blame the millennials. I mean, that's, you know.
I'd like to, but I don't think it's them. So I don't think it's you at this moment. All right. I think it's something else.
It's nice to hear.
I think it's corporate greed or cheating. And I'd like to get over on that. I'd like to find out. But they better fix that damn nitro machine because I am hooked.
You're coming tomorrow. You're going to ask for the manager big time.
Right. I'm jonesing right now. Dude, I'm seriously mad. I could just suck on the nozzle. Where's the nozzle? I just want to suck on it.